We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
And so you have the Airbnb set up and then you have two choices. You could figure out how to buy another house in DC and do the Airbnb thing again. And the other choice, which you took, was to get into the co-hosting space. What was that decision-making process like, and why did you choose to look into co-hosting?
I would say it's the cost of acquisition and also the opportunity cost. So prior to doing Airbnb, I did a plethora of other things since the pandemic: credit, taxes, business funding, public speaking, rental cars, Turo, vending machines, drop shipping. I did a lot of different things. And in my community in the DMV area, people knew that from social media and from me helping people start their own businesses, et cetera. And once people saw that I was doing Airbnb, they're like, well, Ron was successful with, you know, rental cars, vending machines. He helped me fix my credit. When people found out I was doing Airbnb and they had properties, it's like, hey, Ron, can you help me start an Airbnb? Whether it was rental arbitrage or, hey, Ron, I have this house that I want to rent. I don't know how to make money with it. Can you do it for me? And people started literally throwing me the keys. And I realized, wow, okay, I can get, if I manage five people property at 20%, now that's my own 100%. That's my own property, right? And when you look at the overhead that's associated with owning your own property, I'm not paying your mortgage, I'm not paying your rent, I'm not paying utilities, I'm not paying for maintenance and repairs. I'm paying as a to be a consultant to run your business for a small percentage of every booking that you get. So once it started to compound over time and I started to actually see the numbers, it made more sense for me to continue to do this co-hosting model where I'm managing people and I'm managing their assets for value return.
Got you. How much does it cost to become a co-host? I know people are probably wondering, well, you know, I don't have any money. I can't buy a house. This co-hosting stuff sounds cool. How much is it going to cost me?
Honestly, it will cost you $0 to become a co-host. And I know that may sound cliche. It's so much knowledge and game out here. Once you have the knowledge and you can convince somebody that has a house that you know more than them about Airbnb, they will hand you the keys. So you don't necessarily, the day and age we live in, you don't necessarily have to own a physical property or lease a physical property. I know cleaners who just clean the properties and started to solve pain points for the owners. That's what it's really about. You got people who don't have time, who live far away from their properties, who have the money to invest, but they don't have the time to invest, right? And once you start to solve their problems for them and you become a student in the game, it's way easier for someone to put their trust in you to run their business. And then you can learn on the fly as you go, or you can hire a consultant like me that'll help you have everything you need to start your Airbnb co-hosting business.
That's encouraging because, you know, things are tough for a lot of people right now. And we haven't even gotten to the nitty gritty yet, but I could already see that this could be something viable that somebody, especially by the end of the episode, could look into as a way to just generate some extra income while also providing a service. And I also like what you said about the fact that you just have to demonstrate your knowledge, which takes, like you did, becoming a student of the game, understanding how things work. And then by the end of this episode, you probably can start hitting some people up and say, I could be your co-host.
Nah, literally. The game we're going to drop in here today, you definitely will be able to leave here and be able to, you know, go have a conversation with someone and convince them that you know what you're talking about with being a co-host.
So let's jump into it. So what are some methods that you use to gain clients? Because I know you mentioned that your first several clients were people you knew and just locally. How did you expand to strangers?
Okay, great question. So I would say business is based on relationships, right? Relationships are worth more than money. So bottom line, doing good business. If you manage one person's property and they tell five people about you, and those five people go tell five people about you, it's a exponential compound effect, right? So I was able to leverage my relationships that I had in business by doing good business with people. Like what I tell people, I sell nights for a living and I help people pay their mortgages. That's what I do, right? And once you're able to solve people's financial problems and you do good business with them, it's nothing for them to refer people to you. Oh, my property manager, oh, my consultant is so great. And it's just like expressed like wildfire where by the grace of God, I get leads every week, like organically, by not even putting out content. So that's the first thing, doing good business and, you know, just being a good business person. And then the content aspect of it, you got to market yourself. At first, I wanted to gatekeep some of this information. I realized I was putting out so much free game on so many other topics. And I'm like, whoa, I found this little gold mine. Let me perfect my craft first before I go start telling everybody about it. But now I realize the only way anybody's going to know who I am or what I do is if I market myself. So like I'm real big now on social media, putting out content, doing podcasts, and just teaching people. Like I taught some college kids today about Airbnb, a summer youth employment program for the Department of Insurance and Banking for DC while I was on the clock. They let me do it, and trying to put them on the game early on. I told them about rental cars as well. So it's just like not being afraid to jump off the porch and just putting yourself out there so you can be seen.
Are there any resources that or places people can go to start generating some leads and finding some clients? Let's say they don't have anybody who has a arbitrage situation or who has a property they own and wants to rent out the whole thing or part of it. Where can they go to start gaining some leads?
Facebook. So Facebook is probably the largest app in the world. More people probably on Facebook than any other app. I don't know if I can fact check myself for that, but the reason I say that, you got to think big, you got to think global. I've managed properties in Tulum, Mexico. I've never stepped foot in Tulum in my life because I met people on Facebook. I built a team in Facebook of Spanish cleaners, Spanish airport transportation people, private chefs, masseuses, all those things just by leveraging Facebook. And one thing that I really love about Facebook is Facebook has groups of any niche that you're interested in. And almost every major state and every major city has an Airbnb Facebook group specific to Airbnb. And every single day, hosts are going on there asking questions, amateur hosts, right? And if you just lay back in the cut, you turn on your post notifications, they're out and you start answering people's questions, providing value, somebody's gonna see that, then they're gonna slide in your DMs. The person who you answer may not even respond to you, but you'll become a top contributor, and then the algorithm will start, just like Instagram, if you like sports all day, that's all it shows you, it's only gonna start showing you Airbnb leads. So if you don't know where to start to find leads, and you wanna get into this game, get into these Facebook groups and answer as many people's questions as possible. Whether you know the answer or not, go on Google, go on ChatGPT, and just start answering people's questions.
As far as paperwork, so let's say you find a client, you know, somebody, I know you talking to somebody just before today. So let's say you close that deal. What comes next in terms of like paperwork, onboarding and all that stuff? How does that look like?
Yeah, so you definitely want to get a contract. I started out with like a basic agreement, like on ChatGPT or another, I can't think of the other website that'll draft a basic agreement. But at the level I'm on now, I actually have a attorney generated agreement where, you know, it has insurance in there that protect me, it protects my business and my interests. And a lot of times I don't budge on my agreement because it was created for me and my business based on all the pitfalls and trials that I've experienced so far. Once somebody signs an agreement, I charge a consultation fee because it's my time that I'm spending to come to your property, to use my expertise, to onboard your property, to get it live, to hire my cleaners, my handyman, my interior designers. You're getting access to all of my resources, right? But I would say the biggest thing in terms of paperwork is making sure whatever state or city that you're in, that one, if you need a license, you qualify for the license. And if you don't need a license, you know, that you onboard your property correctly. But pretty much after you sign the agreement, you get your license, whether it's the interior designed or furnished, we get it clean, professional photos, and once you hand me the keys, I'll take over from there.
What kind of pushback have you received on the agreement? And the reason I'm asking is because this is a teachable moment. It's always important to protect your interests. And so I like that you mentioned the contract. I like that you mentioned the insurance because, you know, stuff happens. But what kind of pushback have you received from people where maybe you just didn't work out because you don't want to agree?
I mean, the most pushback I see is financials, right? Why are you charging a consultation fee? I'm a consultant. If you go to a lawyer, they're going to charge you a consultation fee. If you go to a CPA or your tax person, they're going to charge you a consultation fee. I'm a subject matter expert in my field. And I told somebody that I don't work for free. And, you know, it's a reasonable cost. Sometimes I let people split the cost. Sometimes I let people take it out of the first bookings. But at the end of the day, I've done enough. I've done my share of free things, right? And then the percentages, right? So when people hear property management, they think like the traditional 6 month, long, 12 month Section 8 long-term tenant where you're anywhere from 9 to 12%. But what I have to, you know, tell people, I'm charging 18 to 20% because I'm running a 24/7 hotel business. And I'm taking on all the stress. I'm taking on all the headaches. I'm taking on all the issues that come with that. And I also have a team. It's not just me. I have a team of people who I have to pay weekly. I pay monthly. You know, to handle all of these tasks and work for me. So it's like, if you just tell me, hey, can we do 15%? I'll ask you, under what reason and what's your justification for that? Because that's just a number that sounds better to you. You don't even know how much money you can make, right? And then when they start working with me, they're making more money than they've ever made. And it's like, oh, yeah. But it's like, come on, I know what I'm doing. So, I would just say financials are the biggest pushbacks because most people don't understand business and most people don't understand money. And when you tell somebody like 18%, I need 20%, it sounds like such a big number, but they don't realize that they're going to be making more money than they made it, that they make it their 9 to 5, leveraging their asset.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.